Welcome in to the Monday edition of the Daily Tap. It is April 23rd. We are live. It is draft week officially. It is Bucks in 6 week. It is Brewers on a hot streak week, all of which is happening. So looking forward to talking with you guys this week. We will have the Daily Tap on today, Tuesday, Wednesday, then Tapping the Keg on Thursday with special guest Nolan Murphy. He's going to also have a draft post on Snowtap WI. It is a website. We will also have a podcast on Friday recapping Game 6, recapping the NFL Draft and Brewers and Cubs. Should be quite the day. Then it will take a day off on Saturday. I am at a wedding, and I talked to Murph yesterday, and producer Murph's going to do sort of a draft wrap-up on Sunday morning. So I will come back in probably and do something either in midday Sunday if the Bucks do go 7. I'll probably do another podcast on Sunday, so 2 podcasts in 1. Or I'll just wait till Monday, and we'll wrap it up, and we'll get ready to go for the final day of April. So I don't know if you guys care about that stuff. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Since it's a little bit of a different week, I just thought I'd give some insight, give some information on what we're looking at. I'm excited to talk to you guys. This week should be a really fun week, and this is probably the only day of the week where we really don't have a ton of Wisconsin sports topics. We're going to do a little bit about the NFL draft, about NFC North teams and who it could draft in the first round that I'd be really upset if they were actually inside the Packers division. Then chat a little bit about the Chris Middleton revival and look at what's happening in the rest of the NBA playoffs since we haven't really talked about that recently. So before we do any of that, you can find us Snowtap WI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and also make sure you visit Snowtap WI. It is a website. Go there. We saw some nice traffic numbers on Sunday, so maybe you guys are heeding my advice. I don't know, but it's always good to see when that happens. All right, so I used to do this segment as a blog post. I think I did last year as a blog post, but this year, doing it as a podcast topic, that's the joy of having a daily podcast about players who I do not want to see in the NFC North. And the fact is that sometimes you don't get your wish. I mean, there was once upon a time where I said I didn't want Laquon Treadwell to be in the NFC North. Now, Laquon Treadwell is in the NFC North for the Minnesota Vikings, and he's been a marginal, if non-marginal, football player. So sometimes just because I don't want to see these guys because I liked them in college or I like the fact that the Packers have been looking at them, it can sometimes be a moot point. Like at some point, these guys could just stink, and it's like, oh, it really isn't that big of a deal that player X is actually in the division. He's not going to wreak havoc. It's not an Aaron Donald type. It's not a complete game breaker. So you never know. And I've said this before, but the draft is a crapshoot. I mean, there are certain, you know, you just never really know with any of these players. You have no idea who's going to be a lock, who's going to be a sure thing. And it's even though I may be nervous or like be disappointed that that guy is in the NFC North, at the end of the day, it could mean shit. Now, granted, the first guy I'm going to talk about, I think, is as close to a lock as possible with Quentin Nelson, who's getting pegged to the Bears. He's a Notre Dame offensive lineman. He's a guard. He is probably one of the best guards we've seen in football in the last 15 years, drawing comparisons to Larry Allen. His former offensive line coach is now the Bears offensive line coach. The stars are put together. Some people don't know if Nelson will be there. He may go to the Colts at 6. We'll see what happens with Quentin Nelson, because Quentin Nelson, I definitely would hate to have in the division, because he would definitely be a lifelong Bear. He'd be a guy that would start day one. He'd be a guy that could definitely bolster that Bears offensive line immediately. He's a player that I had a pipe dream that would fall to the Packers. I think there is not a chance in hell that would happen. And so Nelson being a Packer or being a Bear would be disappointing to say the least, but it really wouldn't be surprising. I've sort of mentally prepared myself for that possibility. So we'll see if that ends up coming to fruition. Another guy who would be a bummer as a Bears player is Denzel Ward. Denzel Ward's been a player that I think a lot of Packer fans have liked, and a lot of Packer fans think could fit with what Green Bay is trying to do on defense this year. The fact is as you look at mock drafts, you know, sometimes don't mean shit, but it appears that it's going to be very hard for the Green Bay Packers to get Denzel Ward unless they trade up. Denzel seems like he's going to be gone with the first 10 picks of the draft. So if he goes to the Bears and the Bears bolster that secondary that already has Prince Amukamara, Kyle Fuller, and you add Denzel Ward to the mix, all of a sudden you have a pretty solid secondary, and that could pose some problems. Young team, though, I mean, it takes some time. Ward would get baptized by Aaron Rodgers week one at Lambeau Field, but, I mean, which Bears corner doesn't get baptized by Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre? Shout out to Jerry Azuma, my favorite baptism that the Packers have performed. As for the Lions, I've seen a lot of noise about Harold Landry going there. Harold Landry, I think, slipping a little bit. I don't think he is a top 15 pick, as some people have said him. Like Packers, I thought that I've been kind of on the Landry train for a while to go to the Packers. So to see him sort of fall is disappointing. I think that's sometimes this is analysis by paralysis, right? Where we watch so much tape and we get so familiar with a guy that all of a sudden we just are like, oh, I can't deal with what's going on. And I have, like, I've seen this guy so often that I have to now, like, you know, do this, do that. And I just, there's way too much time spent just watching one player. And we'll see. Well, maybe that's untrue. Maybe that is true. But Landry going to the Lions would be a bummer. I mean, that would really be shitty to see. Okay, now they have Harold Landry and Ziggy Ansah on the edges. It would mean the Packers passed up on Landry, and you may wonder if that's something that people will criticize. Go back to the table and look at Gutekunst and say if Landry is this stud, to say, okay, well, the Lions took him, so now the pressure's really on. And not to say that what a division opponent does should influence you at all, but man, that would suck. I mean, that would really suck to see Landry end up as a Detroit Lion. Also would suck would be the Vikings and Josh Jackson. I saw a mock draft that had the Vikings taking Josh Jackson. I've seen Josh Jackson all over the place. I mean, some people have Josh Jackson as high as to the Packers. Some people have him as a second round pick. I think there's a lot of split. He may be the most controversial draft pick, I think, for the Packers. Like, if the Packers, Vita Vea, I think also too. We'll ask Murph. That's a good, question for Murph. And I should have said that when we were saying that Murph's going to be on the podcast. If you have any draft questions, shoot them to me this week. We'll get Murph on the horn about them. But I think both are good questions for Murph about who's going to cause the most ire if from the Packer Nation if they draft him. And Josh Jackson may be that guy. Maybe not, because he's an Iowa dude. So there's a lot of, you know, people remember that Josh Jackson had two pick sixes against Alex Hornibrook in Camp Randall in November. And you hate to say that being a thing, but the fact is that's how some people remember certain players, and they remember them by the college, and that's why people were so hyped on TJ Watt being a Packer. It's the same concept. Packer fans are also Big Ten fans, so they have a little bit of an affinity for Big Ten players. So if Josh Jackson ended up being a Viking, that would really stink. I mean, I don't know what the Vikings will do. I mean, I think when you get down to the final picks of the first round, it's sort of a crapshoot. It's you hope someone falls and that's available to you. Vikings are obviously not shy about trading up either. Rick Spielman has done that throughout the year. So we'll see what happens. The draft's a few days away. It should be a lot of fun. And we will obviously cover it as the week goes on. Wanted to give a shout out to Chris Middleton, and I guess I have to apologize to Chris Middleton, because I banged on him pretty hard in the podcast throughout the year. I thought Middleton had sort of lost a step on defense. I thought Middleton only cared about shooting. I thought Middleton basically didn't understand his role with Giannis. I don't know. I just thought there were so many things wrong with And Mitch, I think at some point, made a point about, well, he got poisoned kind of by Jason Kidd. Like, Jason Kidd told him, you're not a three-point shooter. You should be shooting in the mid-range. You can shoot whenever you want, all this stuff. And TNT did a good job. Charles Barkley made a comment like, we don't give Middleton enough credit. He's a professional scorer. And he's absolutely right. Charles is 100% right that we don't give Chris Middleton enough credit because we see what Giannis does. And it's great, but Chris Middleton's kind of breaking out in this playoffs. Like, he's had a fantastic four games. He's been an absolute killer for the Bucks. He's been sort of the guy that they've relied on for a big shot. Now, Giannis has had some clutch moments as well, but think about that Middleton three in the waning seconds when in the down to stretch yesterday. It was fantastic. I mean, he deserves some shine from the national and local media about how well he's playing, because he's playing like a borderline all-star. Like, we thought there was a chance that Middleton could be an all-star this year, and he's showing it. He's showing why there are people who think he's an all-star caliber player and a good compliment to Giannis. I was way wrong. I said Middleton's just a guy who can fill it up with a bad team, and that's all he's there. And it's wrong. That's a wrong comment. Maybe he isn't the greatest defender, but he's good enough. And Chris Middleton deserves a lot of credit for the way he's been playing. I mean, he's just time in and time out just giving buckets to Boston. I mean, he had over 20 points again last night. He nearly got another triple-double. I mean, when you say nearly triple-double, it's kind of flawed, and I'm not a huge fan of the triple-double statistic, as I think Russell Westbrook has killed sort of the allure of the triple-double, as he's tried to force it and make it look like it's easy to get, and that's a hot take for another time. But the fact that Middleton's doing all of the things just shows his versatile nature and shows the kind of player he is. And he also has kind of stepped up into a leadership role. And I didn't really expect that either, to see him and Giannis sort of stepping up to the podium after that brutal game two loss and said, we need to do more. It needs to be on us. So I have no idea, like, how things changed. What changed? Did Giannis just tell him, like, hey man, I'm right there with you. Like, go out there and play. Like, we don't have to, like, do this thing where we isolate one another and we, you know, it goes into a black hole. Like, Chris is getting his shots so much more in rhythm, and it's not just taking it down the court and trying to score and stuff that we saw during the regular season. We're not seeing that as much. And when we see it, it's when Middleton may get a mismatch against a guy like Al Horford or Aaron Baines, where he can just take him off the dribble. And then at that point, you're like, absolutely do that, because that is quintessentially what you want from Chris Miller, what you want from really any wing player at that juncture. So I really think we need to do more to, like, hype up Chris Middleton, to talk about Chris Middleton. He deserves a lot of our affection as the Bucks 1A this year and 1A in the playoffs. I think it's been tremendous to watch. It's been tremendous to enjoy the Middleton experience as much as the Giannis experience. And I think he's a key part to the Bucks potentially winning this series, obviously. That goes really without saying. All right, to wrap it up, just want to do some quick NBA takes. The Pelicans are the only team to make the sweep, because of course it is. NBA is crazy this year. We knew the NBA was crazy. I don't know if we expected a team in the sixth seed to have a sweep, and an easy sweep at that. I think just everybody came together. I mean, Jrue Holiday and Anthony Davis combining for 88 fucking points on Saturday night was absolutely absurd. Rajon Rondo obviously is taking his game to another level. I think this team can hang with Golden State. I don't know if they can win a series, but damn, they can get to six or seven games against this Warriors team. And now the fact the Warriors have another game that they have to play San Antonio, the lack of rest, I think you probably look at a game one starting on Saturday if you get Warriors and Pelicans in the mix. I think it'd be a hell of a series. I think it'd be really good. Definitely one to look forward to. Indiana-Cleveland has been so bizarre. That game last night was ugly as fuck. I mean, that was a gross game, yet it was really entertaining. And I mean, that was the consensus. I think Zach Lowe said that. I think Bill Simmons said that. So I'm not breaking ground with that comment. But it's weird because it's like, is Lance Stevenson the story? I mean, Victor Oladipo was terrible. I mean, Victor Oladipo owes Lance Stevenson a steak for his antics, have basically detracted from the fact that Victor Oladipo missed 15 shots, was regularly horrible, and that they may have figured out how to stop Victor Oladipo. I mean, huge amount of spotlight on him for game five. That was a game Indiana had to win. I mean, Indiana went down early again at home. I think we're seeing some of the, you know, first year playoff jitters for Indiana. You know, we saw this a little bit with the Bucks last year. I mean, granted, that game three, they came out and just sort of gave the noise, but you sort of see that these teams get tight sometimes when they're playing at home for the first time in a playoff game. I think Oladipo has done that. I think he's come out too excited and just he needs to rein it in a little bit. And I think that if Indiana can do that, maybe they can win the series. I think this thing's going seven. I think Indiana's not afraid, but I don't know if they can have enough to beat LeBron. LeBron's a zombie, man. It takes a lot to kill LeBron, especially in the first round. And I think Indiana has enough to do it. I just don't know if they can do it. That's the thing. Toronto-Washington, such a rock fight. I don't know how much I care. I think I watched a decent amount. But to give you an idea, I put the game on mute and was talking to Murph as I was finishing up dinner and came back and was like, oh, Washington went on a run. Like, I saw the Brad Beal foul. It was bullshit. I just don't know. I mean, if Toronto loses to Washington, I did not expect this series to go six. And that's maybe an indictment on why Toronto is not a team who can win the East, because I think their problem is Kyle Lowry sometimes tries to do too much, and he's less like a Chris Middleton and more like, say, an Isaiah Thomas, where he needs his, and it's not good. And we saw this happen with the Bucks-Raptors series last year, where Kyle Lowry tried to take over in certain spots, and he just isn't a star anymore. It's DeMar DeRozan's team, and Lowry's known that throughout the regular season. He needs to know that in the postseason. I think the Raptors are fine. I think they can win this in six. Like I said, I haven't really believed in Washington, and I'm not really going to start now. Interested to see the games tonight. I think both are going to be awesome. Rockets, T-Wolves. T-Wolves came out with a fire. They finally got Karl-Anthony Towns more involved. James Harden's been ice cold to start these playoffs. And I said this would be a long series. I said don't sleep on the T-Wolves. It's hard for me to think that this wouldn't be one of those games where Houston comes out and they're like, okay, we are the best team in the West and in the NBA. You know that, right? I go back to Bonnetemps, the Washington Post reporter, who had the comment about Milwaukee and Washington, where it says they won that game out of game three out of desperation. That's the same applied to Minnesota. It really matters about game four. And yeah, that's entirely true. We'll see what happens. I'd love to have the more series going six and seven, the better. I mean, the better that is, that's great for the NBA. It's great for us, the fans. OKC, Utah should be fun as hell. Man, the fans are going to be rowdy in Utah. Salt Lake is back to being one of the tougher places to play. Russell Westbrook talking shit to Ricky Rubio after his triple-double. Playoff Rubio's been a thing. He's been awesome. Donovan Mitchell as well has been one of the best players. Utah is just a joy to watch. If you don't enjoy Utah, there's something physically wrong with you. Like, not to be a whole purist, but man, Utah is an absolute blast to watch. So that will about wrap us up for the podcast on Monday. Hope you guys have a good start to your week. We'll be back tomorrow. Sorry my voice is a little raspy. Definitely some morning voice. Do not sleep with your mouth open like a goddamn mouth breather, and it will not dry up the air. So I'm sorry for that, but hopefully the pipes will sound better tomorrow. You know where to find us, StoneTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Visit us, StoneTapWI. It's a website. Subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe on Google Play. And we will talk to you tomorrow, get you ready for Game 5, and cannot wait for that. All right, take care. Peace out. Later.